And in chapter 4, the Philistines appear on the scene. And you can understand now that the Philistines become the hand of the Lord at work to chastise Israel, to deal with them for their failures. Now, in this initial battle of the Israelites against the Philistines, there was defeat. At the end of the day, there were 4,000 men strewn on the battlefield, rotting corpses after a day of slaughter and defeat. And they gathered and regathered and rethought and wondered, how are we going to conquer the Philistines? And they decided that they would bring out the Ark of the Covenant.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we're turning to 1 Samuel 7, to God's way of defeating the Philistines. Maybe you have a few Philistines in your life that you need to slay and defeat. Then we can go today to the Word of God, and we will discover the way to get victory over those wretched Philistines in our lives. The nation of Israel were plagued by these Philistines generation after generation. And you will find in your life that there are certain temptations that just keep returning, some certain trials that continue in your Christian life, and that you need to get the victory again and again and again over them. And the Lord does, little by little. He gives the victory, he gives the power and the blessing of God. Let's lead this on how Samuel dealt with these Philistines. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said, There, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Amen. We'll end our reading right there, and I trust you will stay tuned with us to the end of the program today as we come to this message. We have a message in song, Keep on the Firing Line, and we're back to the little booklet, A New Beginning. I trust that you will send for this booklet. This is Ian Gollaher. May the Lord bless you today through his word from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale.
I wish we had time this morning to read all 7 chapters of 1 Samuel. It is really a history that's built upon the events that build and build and build in those chapters. Of course, you have the birth of Samuel. And he is that little boy in the temple, and he is hearing the voice of God at night, and the message comes that there's judgment upon Israel, upon the house of Eli, and especially upon Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's 2 sons. Then, after that visitation, Eli says, It is the Lord. He has spoken. And in chapter 4, the Philistines appear on the scene. And you can understand now that the Philistines become the hand of the Lord at work to chastise Israel, to deal with them for their failures. Now, in this initial battle of the Israelites against the Philistines, there was defeat. At the end of the day, there were 4,000 men strewn on the battlefield, rotting corpses after a day of slaughter and defeat. And they gathered and regathered and rethought and wondered, how are we going to conquer the Philistines? And they decided that they would bring out the Ark of the Covenant. And in chapter 4, that's exactly what they do. And they remember past times when God commanded that ark to be brought out, led them across the River Jordan into the Promised Land, and in defeating Jericho, and God used that ark, and he specifically commanded it to be his instrument. But in this case, it becomes their own idea. And so they bring out the Ark of the Covenant and they do battle again with the Philistines. And at the end of the day of battle, there are 30,000 Israelites dead on the battlefield. A great defeat. And they are in despair. Now, I forgot to tell you about a little child that was born. He was Eli's grandson, the son of Phinehas and his wife. And when the Ark of the Covenant was conquered, stolen by the Philistines, and the news came back to the house of Eli, old Eli, who was 98 years old, he fell from off his chair, broke his neck, and died. And there was a little child born, Eli's grandson. His mother did not regard him, had no interest in him. The Ark of the Covenant was taken. Her father-in-law was dead. Her husband had been killed in the battlefield. And they named the child Ichabod, meaning the glory is departed. And it seemed no matter what Israel tried to do, they were headed for defeat against the Philistines. The judgment of God. Now, who are these Philistines? Why did they come against Israel? Humanly speaking, of course, they came in their pride, their greed, and in their lust against Israel. But divinely speaking, they were God's instrument to judge. In chapter 4, verse 3, they recognized that God had brought these Philistines. But it doesn't say why. And it's not until 20 years later, the chapter we have just read, 1 Samuel 7, that we get the answer. And in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, it says, it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. There is now recognition that the Lord was departed from them. And the reason for their judgments was their sin, their apostasy, their turning away from the truth of God. And for 20 years and more, they had lived without the glory of the Lord in the very midst. But this brought a fuller understanding, and they learned that only God's mercy could deliver them now. Now, who are these Philistines to us? Personally, they are the lust of the flesh and the powers of the world. And you struggle against those Philistines every day. You know something of the awful power and victory of the enemy in your life. And you wonder, where is the power of the Lord? As a church, there are the encroachments of the enemy that spread their poisonous false doctrines that would seek to bring the church of the Lord Jesus into bondage, to hinder, and even to defeat. Those religious systems that are pseudo, false, anti-Christian. And we must confess that just as Israel was powerless to overcome the enemy, the church of the Lord Jesus today is powerless to overcome the enemy that is all around us. The question is, how shall we get rid of these Philistines in our lives? Do you have the answer to that? Do you know? I want to do two things today in this message. I want to look at how not to get rid of the Philistines. We've learned Israel for 20 years couldn't do it. And these things are recorded for us that we might understand how not to go about dealing with our spiritual enemies. And then I want us to look at how to, the ways in which we will know victory over the Philistines in our lives. Firstly then, how not to. Well, chapter 4, verse 1, would you turn back to that for me? And I realizing that I'm surveying this great history, and I would advise you to read it. Start at 1 Samuel 1 and read right this whole account. But in chapter 4, 1, it says, "The word of Samuel came to all Israel." Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle. This was their military might. Israel went out against Philistines to battle. And they formed their united effort as a military to fight against the Philistines. It was not just the effort of one tribe. They went unitedly. And there are those who say, well, if we were bigger and we were more numerous, and if we were united together as churches, then we'd be assured of the victory. Well, the lesson here is that no matter the numbers and no matter the military tactics and plan, if God's not in it, it's not going to work. There's not going to be any victory, but rather there will be defeat.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. Oh, keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown and bear the cross, you must keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line, the firing line.
You'll notice also too, it's not by location, because they pitched this battle, this is now still chapter 4:1, beside Ebenezer. Israel placed themselves in this place called Ebenezer. Now, you'll learn later that it was named the place of God's help hitherto, as the Lord helped us. And for some reason, Israel chose this Ebenezer because they wanted to be the place of favor, of advantage. And these Philistines, they placed themselves in Aphek. But defeat came again, greater defeat. As I said, firstly 4,000 and then 30,000 destroyed in battle. Do we think that location would make the battle any different for us today? When you're planting a new church, of course, you'd want to do a little bit of homework and see that you get the right place. But after years of somewhat establishment, you begin to wonder, are we yet in the right place? Or what if we were in another church or in another ministry, another part of the country or another part of the world? Would the battle be any better or easier? Would we get the victory more? Well, we learn here that might is not by choosing the right site, and grace does not flow by place. And sometimes those things eke into our lives and we say, well, there's no point going to that church because, number one, they're small and they're in the wrong location. No point in going to that church because, well, they don't have the advantages of others, and become discouraged. Well, we see here that Israel, whenever they sought that advantage, without the Lord, it was no help at all. Nor is it by artifacts. The main error of Israel in this history was relying upon the Ark of the Covenant as a relic, as an artifact, as a piece of furniture, holy in the past, no doubt, and still something of sacred. But you'll notice the mistake if you read with me in 1 Samuel 4 and verse 3. And when the people were come to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us." Notice how it's written, "it may save us." These people had gotten their eyes on tradition, on religious artifacts, but it obviously was not faith in the Lord at this time. You see, we're always in danger of turning such things into idols, that it's the it that will save us. It's the thing that will change the course. And really, our faith is not directly in the Lord. What about our Bibles today? Let's take our Bible. You know, inside this Ark of the Covenant, there was the Word of God, the law of God was there. And you surely would be a good thing to have the law of God in the battle. Maybe you brought your Bible along to church today. I hope you did. It's always good to come along with your Bible. But you know, your Bible is no good as a relic. It's no good as a religious item. It is only good to us as we hear and listen and obey the voice of God out of that word. And so people are ever in danger of treating Christianity in a form of godliness. Now in 2 Timothy, we find the warning. Such have a form of godliness without the power thereof. And we may be in the right tradition. We may have the right item. And if you have the Bible today, let me tell you, that's commendable. You have a mighty sword. But it's not it. It's the Lord who gave the word. And the Spirit of the Lord that speaks through that word that makes this Bible a mighty, mighty instrument. Now, that verse in Timothy that talks about having a form of godliness without the power thereof, in the previous verse it says, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, 4, and 3 before that. 2 Timothy 3, 4. And so it's so easy to become like the church of Laodicea, lukewarm, having a form of godliness. And we're in danger of being spewed out of God's mouth. Now we learned of that before. Some so trust in tradition that they think that their precious denomination, they think that their church name or church title or past fame or past glory will be their power today. And all the while it's Ichabod. The glory has departed. I think we need to search our hearts today and realize the ways by which we will never defeat the Philistines, the enemy of our souls. We will never be overcomers by these things. Not by military might, in our own strength, not by location, not by artifacts, because when sin creeps in and God's Spirit is grieved, all of these things offer absolutely no advantage. And the reality is that Israel was in the state it was in. It was going through such defeats because of sin in the camp. And we have to search our hearts. We have to ensure that we are not being defeated because of our sin that has caused the Lord to depart. Now, the tragedy in the life of Israel is it took 20 years to awaken them. 20 years were wasted that went by before God revisited and there was a repentance and a reformation. You'll know that in chapter 6:1, this ark was captured by the Philistines and it was there for 7 months. It then went to the house of Beth Shemesh. That's chapter 6:19. Chapter 7, verse 2, 20 years it abode in Kirjath Jearim. And it says the time was long. Those were wasted years. Wasted years. Now let me pose a question here at this point. Is it possible for a Christian to go through wasted years in their Christian life? Then another question before I give the answer. Is it possible for a church to go through wasted years of ministry? Years when the Philistines keep returning and ravishing and destroying? The answer is yes. We need to look back and see where we went wrong and realize that these Philistines, these defeats in our lives are from God. God sends the enemy to chastise, to humble. And you know, it was doing its work in Israel because we're told in chapter 7 that Israel lamented after the Lord. And if you today have this longing to be right with God, a longing to know God's blessing in your soul, let me tell you, the chastisement, the defeats, the failures were lessons well learned. Because here we are now lamenting after the Lord. And that's a good sign. And these years of trouble in Israel brought them to the place where they would lament after God. Now that brings us then to the ways we shall see these Philistines driven out. Because as you read down the chapter 7, well, what a mighty victory God did give. Chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, we see that it's after Reformation. After Reformation. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying... Now you'll notice that Samuel's message followed the lament in verse 3. There had to be a preparation of heart. Had to be a readiness to receive God's word. Samuel's ministry had been despised. But now he's God's man with God's message. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord. There may have been the suggestion, we will return to the Lord. There may have been brought to Samuel, what do we need to do to get right with God? And Samuel says, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I trust the Lord has blessed already through his word. I'm holding this little booklet called A New Beginning, God's Answer to the Problems of Guilt, Doubt, and Temptation. It's also a little guide on what happens when you believe on the Lord Jesus and how you are transformed by the power of grace. You're made a new creature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're told, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Peter tells us how this happens. He says that the Lord has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And here is what will give you the power to live a holy life. It does not mean that you will be sinless. It does mean that you will have a new attitude towards sin. You will no longer acknowledge its mastery over you, but will treat it as a usurping tyrant. You will oppose it and delight to be holy and Christ-like. Now, I'd like you to send for this little booklet. We can send it to you in the mail, and we'll be delighted to get it to you. It will be a guide. This is a 32-page booklet, beautifully laid out with Bible verses, proof texts under very clear headings. For example, when you are a new creature in the Lord Jesus, you are adopted into God's family, you are reconciled to God, you are legally acquitted of all guilt before God, you are made a new creature, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are vitally united to Christ. And this union with the Lord Jesus is really the genius of Christianity. We are now like a little branch attached to the vine, drawing all our life, energy, and strength from the life of the vine. The Lord Jesus taught this very, very clearly in John 15:1. I am the true vine, ye are the branches, and without me ye can do nothing. And so by union with the Lord Jesus, by our drawing everything from the vine, we become strong, we become vibrant, and we begin to bear fruit. What assurance this gives to believers in Christ. Every Christian has eternal life. Nothing can ever cut him off from his Savior. So send for the booklet, A New Beginning, and we'll be glad to get this in the mail to you. Or, of course, come along and hear the gospel for yourself at our churches. We'd be delighted to have you along. Just a moment, we'll be giving you the announcements for your church or the church in your area. And may the Lord minister to your heart and soul. And join us again when we once more let the Bible speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.